They put a sacrifice on this altar and they started calling on Baal. No answer. Finally, they said, okay, we're done, we're tired, you try yours. So Elijah said, great. But before he did anything, he called the people of Israel together. And he said, listen, people of Israel, you've forgotten your identity. If Baal is God, serve him. But if God is the Lord of Israel, serve him. But stop hesitating between the two opinions.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope. Yesterday, we began a message entitled Building Memories, where Pastor Wayne was showing us the importance of doing things in our homes that will remind us of the miracles God has done in our lives. Let's pick it up where we left off yesterday with a message entitled Building Memories.
Here's three stones, as it were, as God told the children of Israel to build these memorials. What are some of the stones that build strong memories? Number one, would you write in there, it's the stone of identity. Because it's so easy to forget who we are and we try to be someone else. The stone of identity. You see, one of the reasons God says to build remembrances is because it reminds you of who you are. If you go through our house, you'll see in our home all kinds of different things. But on the wall, you'll see scriptures that are my life scriptures and Anna's life scripture. We had them calligraphied and we put them on the wall. Why? Because when I come in, I want to be reminded of who I am. You go into our family room, you'll see pictures of things we value, our children, and some people that we know and people here in the church, and also a quilt, a large quilt, not unlike you saw in the video. And there's just little patches all made by individuals in a care group that Anna and I and our family were a part of for about 7 years before moving to Honolulu in Hilo. And each person would write a little thing on that quilt patch. And so we have this big quilt that just reminds us of the family that we belong to. You see, one of the things of memories like that, that we display, it reminds us of who we are. And you get identity again. I have a friend, his name is Bruce Cutchill, who is a paramedic in Oregon. They got a 911 call, and so they zipped to this apartment where they found that there was a lady, that had, an elderly lady, been deceased for 3 days before they found her body. She had been absent from picking up her mail, so the neighbor called the manager, and when the paramedics got there, they noticed that she had been dead for 3 days. And Bruce said, I wonder why it took so long. Anyway, they took her body, put it in the ambulance, and before he left, he said, I just walked through the house to try and piece together maybe some of the reasons she died or some of the circumstances surrounding her death. And he said, I noticed something that was, something wasn't there in the house. Funny, they had furniture, they had the kitchen was there, everything was, but something was missing. And then he said, it hit me. I looked around and he said, Wayne, there were no pictures anywhere in the house. No familiar pictures on the dresser or the bureau of family, of children or grandchildren. Nothing on the walls of pictures. No pictures on any of the dressers or counters. They said, you know, the tragic thing about the death was not that someone didn't find her till after 3 days. He said, you know what was tragic? He says, and he told me this about 3 weeks after it had happened. He said, I still can't get over it. He said, that woman died without memories. She died without memories. I thought, what a tragic way to die. You see, God created us to be a people of memories that have been established, to be reminded of who we are. It was in 1 Kings chapter 18, where Elijah was confronting the prophets of Baal and the prophets of Asherah, kind of a female cult, the immoral cult. And the people of Israel, though they were people of God, had been distracted, and they were starting to blend in because they liked the things of the world, but they liked the things of God, and so they were straddling both. And Elijah came up, and he called the people of Israel, and they were kind of incognito, you know. They didn't really want to stand up for the Lord. And the prophets of Baal said, all right, let's tell you what, let's have a showdown. I tell you what, we'll put a sacrifice here on an altar, and you put a sacrifice together, no fire now, and we'll call on our gods, and the God that answers by fire, he's the true God. We'll serve him. How's that? Great, said Baal, you're on. I mean, what's his name? Elijah. And you call on Baal, you're on. So they put a sacrifice on this altar, and they started calling on Baal. No answer. Finally, they said, okay, we're done, we're tired, you try yours. So Elijah said, great. But before he did anything, he called the people of Israel together. And they had all been blending in now to these cultic things and the world. And he called them together and he said, "Listen, people of Israel, you've forgotten your identity. If Baal is God, serve him. But if God is the Lord of Israel, serve him. But stop hesitating between the two opinions." And the first thing he did was the altar was in disrepair that was there once that identified those people that lived there as a people of God, but they had let it go into disarray. 12 stones, one for each tribe of Israel that identified them with this altar. And he put the stones back together. Now, we're going to read about it. The scripture in your notes is my mistake. It's a wrong scripture, so we're going to put it up on the screen and let's read this together. Ready? Go. "Then Elijah repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. He took 12 stones, one to represent each tribe of Israel, and used the stones to rebuild the Lord's altar." So the people had lost their identity. So he picks up each stone. Now it's all in disrepair. So he takes one stone. How many stones were there? 12. One for each tribe of Israel. So he took one stone and he puts it down. Now they're all watching. Bang! Now remember, each would represent one of the tribes. And he would drop this stone and he would look around and say, "Reuben, this is for you. Don't forget who you are." Pick up the next one. Bang! "Asher, this is for you. Don't forget your identity." And if you were one of the Asherites, boy, your heart would leap within you. "Wow, that's me. The Reubenites. Ah, that's me. Well, that's our identity. We are to be linked with God." Bang! And he put another one down. "Dan!" And the Danites' hearts would leap. He put another one down. He'd call out every single one. "Levi!" And the Levites would, their hearts would leap within them. That's us. And what he was doing was he was restoring identity with this memorial that had been broken down. And then God did a great thing, answered them by fire. And there was a great victory that day. And I was up there last year, and indeed, there is a huge memorial up there that commemorates the victory of the Lord and reminds us of who we are. Easy to get distracted. And that's why God says, you put memories up. In our home, we have baptism pictures of our kids being baptized. We have different things that are of value, family vacations. We have different things on the wall. If a stranger visited your house, just by looking around within 10 minutes or so, would they be able to tell that you belong to God? Do we have on display prominent memories that commemorate the miracles or the connection that we have with God? Or would they go through and out and just be neutral? I want to challenge each of you to go back to your homes and build some things in where it's, if someone comes over, they can quickly see that you belong to Jesus Christ. And also to remind you that when you come home from a trying day, that you can go into your home and say, "No, I belong to God." What do you need to put there to remind you of that? Lest you forget and we forget who we are. That's why he said build memories, because it's easy to forget and blend in. And that's why he said to the children of Israel, this is not just a good suggestion. He said it's a command. Now, these things can happen in many ways, just little things to remind you of who you are. I'm going to share something that if you're on the internet, you know what I'm talking about. There's some legislation going through because all kinds of junk come into your computer. All kinds, not only viruses, but wrong kinds of advertisement. Pornography drops in. And I'm on AOL, so just stuff get dropped in on, and they're really kind of a bait and switch kind of thing. The other day I opened up my email and it said, the best new picks and stocks. So I enjoy just watching that kind of stuff. So I clicked on it and it was a porno invitation. And I thought, those turkeys, it is a bait and switch thing. And legislature is trying to stop all of that stuff from coming in. Did you know that Playboy last month boasted that their site, the Playboy site, downloading that, was the most used site, 12 million a week. 12 million hits a week. Amazing. 1 month, 121 million hits in the Playboy internet with the porno pictures. And they found that most of it were from college kids, 10 o'clock at night to 3 in the morning. That's when most of the hits came. And you see, what happens is we can get pulled in. Now, how do we stop so that we can remember who we are? Well, it so bothered me that, you know, on the internet, on my AOL, there is a thing called parental controls where you can censor what comes over your computer. So if anything is R-rated, it stops it. And it's a parental control, so if it comes on the child's computer, there's a password protected, and the parents have to actually come and do a password and let them look at it if they want to. And so I set one up for myself so that I will not forget who I am, because that stuff comes in and I may be tempted to, oh yeah, let's take a look at that. So I did a control thing, a sensor thing, and the password, it said, what do you want your password to be? And I typed in there, is Jesus your Lord? So when one of these things comes up and I want to go into it, I have to say, is Jesus your Lord? And then go into it. I can't do that. It's too hard. And so I decide I've got to put something there of a memorial to remind me who I am. And I have to do that for myself. You see, when my son sees that I do those things, can you see the memorial stones that I'm setting for him? He says, you know what my dad used to do? I think I need to do that too. And so much is taught by us setting our own traditions, setting our own standards, setting our own mile markers and signposts. So the first is, indeed, it's a stone of identity. Don't forget who you are. The second is a stone of direction. Would you write that in there? One of the reasons we build memories is because it gives direction, not only to us, but to our children. Let's read Proverbs 22 and verse 28. Ready? Go. Do not move the ancient boundaries which your fathers have set. God says those are important for direction. Let's read Isaiah 30. Ready? Go. And your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it whenever you turn to the right or to the left. You see, it's these things that give my children direction. Hey, Dad, there's a car race on Sunday morning. Aaron, you know we go to church. Oh, yeah, okay. Well, what should I just tell them? That we go to church on Sunday, and it's okay, and you can go after it. Okay, yeah, you're right. And it sort of gives them direction, because there's going to be the pull to lose your identity and switch identities. But this will bring them back and give them direction. Some years ago, I was in a town called Mitaka in Japan, and we took a music group from the church because we were going to do a concert on Friday night. We arrived on Tuesday. 20-minute walk to the train station, and then we ride a train into Tokyo where we would rehearse every day, 3 days until the concert on a Friday night. We couldn't read the Japanese signs, so you have to kind of navigate your way through this Japanese town by landmarks. So I remember the first turn, right before we were supposed to do the first turn in this village towards the train station, there was this big cement garage, and we were doing some a cappella stuff in the concert. So I remember going to this big cavernous garage, all cement, and hey, 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 wow, 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 guys, come, kind of the Portuguese, come, eat, you know. So come, let's sing. So they would go in there and we'd do some a cappella stuff, and it made us sound so much better than we really were. And then we would go out and down the street. Then we came to this, by the next turn, this yellow beer dispensing machine. Did you know in Japan, they actually have beer dispensing machines on the streets? We stopped by and said, wow, you can buy beer. Anybody on the young people, anybody just buy beer? Wow, can't believe it. Oh, can't handle. Oh, okay, let's go. And then we walk by. So we remember that. That's a yellow beer dispensing machine that we were supposed to turn on. And then right in front of this quaint old Japanese restaurant was this humongous aquarium that had lobsters in it. And it's kind of one of those places where the guests go and choose the lobsters they want to eat. Have you seen that? I want that one there. That one big. Yeah, kill it. I'll eat that thing. And so they actually pick that one that you choose, chop its head off, and you eat the thing. And so we call that aquarium death row because they're just waiting to die. Just waiting to die. And the two biggest ones with the buggiest eyes, we call Delbert and Dewey. We say, oh, Delbert, just a couple days, you're going to die, you're going to die. So we would give it last rites, and then we'd go off to the train. Well, we did this every day with these road markers. Well, finally, the day the concert came, and we got back into Mitaka, into the train station, with our instruments and things. It was about 12:30 at night. We were so tired. I was weary. And we got off the train station and started to walk. Now, what we had forgotten or didn't know was that there is a courtyard that surrounded this train station. And the courtyard was sort of mirrored on both sides. They look exactly the same, this round circular courtyards. And so if you got off on one side, it looked like a courtyard. If you went on the other, it looked like the same courtyard. Now, what we didn't know was we got off on the wrong side of the train. And we started walking. You know, we're tired, 12:30 at night. And so we're carrying all our instruments, and we're looking for this restaurant. You know, we couldn't find it. So after about 15, 20 minutes, we thought, we must have missed it. So, let's turn down the street. So we turn down the street, and we're walking another 20 minutes. Nothing. We thought, that beer machine should be around here somewhere. We were just desperately looking for anything familiar by this time. Now, we're going another 45 minutes walking into the country. Now, this is like 1:30 in the morning in a land we have never seen before. And we are like, I'm in Yakuza territory. We could have been in the land of Naboo. And we were out there and we started bickering with each other. It's your fault, your fault. You should have told us where to go. Ah, it's your fault. No, you're stupid. No, you're ugly. And we started bickering. Finally, we said, okay, time out. Before we kill each other, we got to go all the way back to the station and start again. Oh, no. Oh, yeah. Oh, no. All right. So we go back all the way. By this time, it's like 2:33 in the morning. We're back in the station. We're so tired. And so we retrace our steps, and this time we get out on the right side of the station. And so we start walking. By this time, we're bedraggled, and we've spread out, and there's some of us about a block ahead. And the guy at the front, we hear him yell, ah! We thought, oh no, Yakuza is beating up on us. So we run up forward. What's the matter? What's the matter? He said, look, death row lobsters right here. He starts kissing the aquarium. Mwah, 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 mwah. Oh man, I tell you, we all started rejoicing. Yeah, yeah. We gave him last rites again, and we headed on out. Just a little while later, someone else says, yeah, beer! Sure enough, there was that yellow machine. Oh, man, we were so excited. Randy Furushima tried to start to buy beer, but I fought him off bravely. Get out of there. Come on. Dragged him on. And then we got to that cement one. We finally found that cement structure. Yeah, we're so happy. Yes. You know, and I remember as I look back on it now, when we were desperately, I mean desperately, trying to look for anything familiar in order to regain our bearings because we were so lost. We'd look at tree, have I seen that tree before? No, that's not that tree. Store, anything, which is, oh man, and when we saw something familiar like the death row lobsters, we were so excited, joy returned, confidence because we were on the right path. Now listen carefully. There's going to be times where our kids may stray a little bit and go off. And there's going to be times they are going to be searching desperately for anything familiar with which they can regain their bearings. But if we allow our lives to be erased of the memories and the traditions and the mile markers that we've set in place that are godly and leading people back home, when they're searching desperately, they'll find nothing that'll lead them back home to the pathway that leads them to Christ. That's why these stones must be stones of direction, boundaries and pathways that we establish. I remember, your son or daughter will say, I remember when Dad would have struggles, but every morning at 6 o'clock, Dad would always read his Bible and have his devotions with a cup of coffee and write in his journal. And Dad would always receive a fresh word from God. I think I need to visit that mile marker. because I need God to give me a fresh word of direction. And can you see when they're straying, they'll remember something that was set in place, and it will give them something familiar, a coordinate, in order to regain their bearings and give them direction again. But if we don't do any of those things, and if it's just hit and miss, what'll happen to the children coming after us? There's no signposts along the way that lead us back home. So God commands us as one generation to another, establish those because they are stones of direction. You might say, well, Wayne, I'm just a college student. I don't have kids. Now is the time to establish those because they're only established layer upon layer of consistent habitual experience, whether it be your devotions, your time at church, your time involved in a small group, the things around your house that you have thought through and established as these signposts. Those are all important to life because it reminds you of who you are as a stone of identity and also gives direction not only to you, but to those coming after you.
We will serve the Lord.
The conclusion of a message entitled Building Memories by Pastor Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening.
Together, any storm we can weather, trusting in God's word. We need each other, every father.
For listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Bill Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.